This is RedHotRadio.fm.
Oho, Bataki Austin, in the words of my ancestors, I greet you in the Lakota language. I'm sitting here again in beautiful Pembroke. We're enjoying this spot. We're going to be continuing our carving out here and history lessons. And I'm sitting here with my friend Nico Shotaway, Chief Nico Shotaway. He runs 5 Sun Dances, and we'll talk about Sun Dances later on. And he's the actual tribal agent to the Lakota Sioux Nation and personal lawyer of Chief Lenny Prodog. Welcome, Nico.
Nico. Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
It's an honor to be here.
So we talked about the four legs of the buffalo and the 100,000 years that brings us to now the Aquarian Age, 2012. Mm-hmm. And we talked with Chief Horse Looking about the white buffalo woman and the 7 methods of prayer and diligence that she left with the Lakota people. And we get back to them again and talk about his cousin, Arlo Looking Horse, who has been the keeper of the sacred pipe for 9 generations. Mm-hmm. Right now, I would like for you to talk about the story of creation for the Lakota and Dakota people, knowing that it's been passed down through generations to many tribes. I know there's different versions of that. I'd like you to give you your version the best way you can so that it can be clear and simple for the people who are viewing this video. And then I'd like to talk to you about one of the main tools that we do use to communicate with our ancestors and manifest things that we need and the cleansing and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I want the people to hear this from you, mm-hmm. someone who's lived this every day for years and decades, rather than hear it from me, who I'm still a student and I'm humble and grateful for the teachings and the hospitality that you all out in Rosebud, South Dakota, have shared me. But I love you. Thank you for coming out here and working with our crew and sharing this fantastic knowledge. Welcome, and tell us about ways.
Before I say anything, I want to make a statement. I'm called Chief by many places, by many people, but I want to clarify, amongst the Lakota, there are protocols and things. I am not a chief by title. If a person calls me chief, that's because they see me that way. There are some chiefs that call me a chief. There are other people that call me a chief, both amongst my people and amongst people around the country. But I want to make it clear that I do not wear a bonnet. I do not hold the title of chief. Chief is a title given by the people to an individual.
And it's a title that is earned.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I just want to clarify that. That if they call me chief, that's them, that's okay. I answer to it. But I do not hold the formal Lakota title of a chief. Someday, maybe, if not, okay. I'm a common man. I'm a holy man.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you. People have been giving me, and when they first gave me the pipe, the Chinupa, uh-huh. There's a level of responsibility that comes like that. Yes. They had called me into the Inipi to give me my pipe, and I said, when he held it up, he said, "This is yours." I said, "Oh, no, I don't want that." Okay. You know, he said, "Oh, no, this is yours." I said, no. It's not because I wasn't honored. It was because I knew the responsibilities that come along with accepting that Chinupa from my clan. I had to live a better life. I knew there were some things that I was going to have to get to in order to achieve my goals. I didn't know if I was strong enough, but I'm glad. So the same thing for a bonnet. The bonnet is the headdress that we wear, the eagle wings, that means of many colors, that flows out of the Chachahara, the same thing with Hindu. They use the rainbow with the Chachahara. In Christianity, they use the halo around the edge, but it means that you have risen to a point of wisdom and that you have divine connections. Mm-hmm. and it shows the same thing that the Quetzalcoatl of South America, the plumed serpent. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what they call a bonnet down there. Mm-hmm. And I've been offered a bonnet a couple times myself, and I have not refused it. But Nicholas shared with me that if the people want to give you a bonnet, and they love you that much, then you should honor the people and let them honor you. And so he got me in agreement.
I would like to talk about that for a second.
All right, please, shed some light.
I believe that if you feel you are ready to accept the responsibility, then you should let the people put the bonnet on you. Uh-huh. But I also respect a man who knows himself well enough to know that maybe he shouldn't carry that at that time even more, that he be offered it and turn it down because he knows he shouldn't carry it as a status symbol, but a responsibility,
to
hold the people dearly in front of him, not below him.
Oh, well, Takayasa. Mm-hmm. I agree, my friend. So, let's talk about our main method that was one of the seven that the white buffalo left, and that was the Anipi. And well, Europeans yes, call it sweat lodge, but
the Anipitaka is one of the seven sacred rites given to the Lakota people through the white buffalo calf woman. The story my brother, Chief Keith Horsley, I'm told, shared that with you.
Yes.
And he is an authority on that. That would be a good source to learn that from. The Anipi, commonly called the sweat lodge,
yes,
is a purification process. The lodge symbolizes the womb of Mother Earth.
Oh.
We go into the darkness. We go at one time naked, but because of modern conventions, the man, the woman, we used to do it separately. But now, as time changed, we do it sometimes together, sometimes separate. So the men, we strip our clothing down, but we cover ourselves appropriately. That should not be distracted as human beings by the woman in the lodge. We're only human, so we ask the women to dress appropriately in dresses, proper length, proper coverage, not just to reveal, but also to be respectful.
No.
With that said, the power of the woman, there's no end to it. There's no man walked this earth that was born without the woman. There's no woman walked this earth without the man's participation in the power of creation. Together, they make a whole. W-H-O-L-E. Human being.
Oh.
That's how we make our children. And they are sacred. And I want to say, the name for our grandchildren, when we have the knowledge and the experience, in Lakota way, Wakanyesha.
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 Yesha.
Yesha. Thank you.
The reason, the direct English translation, means sacred beings. Oh. That is the name for grandchildren, the direct translation. Because our grandchildren, our future, as we leave this world, they are pure. They are holy, untouched. Their mind, mm-hmm. their spirit, emotionally, everything they learn has to be from the environment of which they are. The earth, the power, and their parents. So it's our responsibility to pass the knowledge down to become a good human being. You can never blame a child for being a bad child unless there's a failure in teaching, or a failure in experience, discipline, education, and learning for them to become a good human being. To be a good human being means to exude and live a life of values that we hold dearly. Examples, generosity, humility, honesty, fortitude, bravery. These are just some of them. These things make up a human being to build character. All of these are elements to make them somebody to help the people. Because without each other, we don't exist. If no one is there to tell us we exist, how do we know? The other human being is a human mirror. They're a reflection of who we are. Our children, how they present themselves to the world, is a reflection of how we raise them.
And from what I've seen, the Nipi Lodge is a great place to learn and sit and hear these lessons. A great place to even demonstrate some of these qualities.
And I'll go full circle with that. We bring ourselves as human beings back to the state of innocence by the mind, the spirit, the emotion, and the physical. By purifying it, by the purification of the toxins within our body chemically, by expressing and opening our minds and hearts, and releasing the anger, the frustration, the desire, the fear, the happiness, the joy, the love. All these things are what make us human, or what make us separate from other animals of which we live amongst. They have some, but they don't have the same way to express that. We all do it as spiritual beings in a different way. Our way, we have to return back to the womb of Mother Earth. We cleanse ourselves, we pray, we release, we learn, we absorb. And through that, when the ceremony is over, we come out of the womb, back into the world as purified beings.
And when you see that shape of the Nipi on the horizon as you look at it, the first thing you think about is a pregnant woman. And it surely is Mother Earth being pregnant and us going in and being reborn, much like the resurrection in the Christian theology.
It's very intentionally made.
This is our resurrection. And in Native communities, they do this ceremony every day. It's a matter of hygiene as well, cleansing the toxins, purification, but also cleansing yourself of dirt and get ready for the next day. So in some communities, I see them do run sweats all day. We're used to doing this one day a week.
Western medicine is now catching up to the Lakota way of being.
Yes, it is.
The Lakota way of being, they call us nomads. We were not nomads. We had structure, food source, medicine, the weather. If a man has a house on the Hamptons in the summer, but winter's in Florida, is he a nomad? Or does he have structure from time of year of his preference for living, of what suits his lifestyle? Our lifestyle was built in harmony with the elements, the earth, the environment, and the weather, and the needs of the people. We did not follow aimlessly. There's a very much structure to how we did things. Certain foods grew certain times of year, so we knew this. So we went there during those times. That's not aimlessly following a food source. That is living harmoniously with the cycle of life. The animal, the buffalo, our primary source of everything who we were as a people, our medicine, our clothing, our shelters, our food, everything that we were, majority came from the buffalo, why they call us the Buffalo Nation. We didn't follow aimlessly. We had certain seasonal hunts each year, and we went to where the buffalo were because we have no control over them, but it's not aimless, as they're not aimless. I'm saying this as an example of the misconception of European mind and thought, of how the native indigenous people of this continent have been misconstrued. That's one example of their misconception of how we live and who we are. When I say the European medicine is now catching up to us. The term, you're going to worry yourself sick, You're going to give yourself a heart attack from stress. They just realized the emotional state of a human being has a result of the physical homeostasis and the well-being of their body.
Now, hope.
They're just now coming to what we know since the beginning of time.
Continuing with our friend Chief Nico Shadoway, we're talking about one of the seven sacraments of the Lakota people. We're talking about the Inipi. So, Inipi is a sacred word. It's a word that deserves the same reverence as respect that when we say church. Now, you may hear us slip every now and then and say, sweat lodge, but we still understand what reference it belongs to. So as we learn that word, that's a new word to the population. You're familiar with the word sweat lodge, which implies I need a sweat. So when you hear Inipi, now you know not it won't be strange to you. So Nico, show us and give us a little bit of an understanding of how we should approach this ceremony and the Inipi Lodge, because it starts as you approach it and begin this process of resurrection and renewal. And give us a good idea of what they can expect and what the process is working towards this renewal, if you can. I appreciate
that. The old way of the Lakota being, of life, the way the grandma and grandpa taught us of how to help ourselves. The way we do things is carefully, reverently, and respectfully. You don't just walk up and jump in a lodge. I'd like to sweat. I'm a firm believer that being a Lakota in our ways is not a spectator sport.
Well, I believe that.
It's not something to just be watched.
I believe that as well.
I could spend the rest of my life explaining the lodge to you, and you will still never understand with my words. The only way to truly understand is you have to attend. And when you attend, you get your instruction of how to conduct yourself, what's appropriate, and how we do things. And these teachings have been handed down from generation to generation, from ceremony to ceremony, from century to century.
Yes.
And that is what needs to be understood. These are not our opinions. These are our way of life. They say, they call it a religion. Some call it a spirituality. It's neither. And it's both. It is a way of life.
It's a way of life.
It is how we are. It's not what we do. It's who we are. We are these things. And until that's accepted and understood, you're never going to get anything out of our ceremonies. So that is the first thing that I suggest one understand when attending one of our ceremonies, whether it be Luwampi, Wiwangwachipi, Inipi, anything, the sun dance, the sing, the prayer, the Inipi, the sweat. Because without that, you won't understand what's happening in there. When you go through it, you're going to feel it. You're going to see it. I cannot tell an individual how you're going to feel. We are not all the same. What you get out of it is different for each individual because we are not all one person. We are all part of a greater whole. And each person makes that greater whole as a human species.
So as we approach the Inipi, that's where the ceremony actually begins, where you find the stillness in your presence and your longing to get your prayers answered and your questions answered. I've heard some call it grandma's path as they start that approach.
That goes back to what I just said as far as the teachings of our grandparents.
Yes. So talk to us a bit about going into that door and what happens after that.
The door of the Inipi, the lodge. Let me give you a clinical description for those who are watching right now to give them a better understanding of what a door is.
Okay.
Rocks, for common vernacular in English. The stone people, there's nothing older than the stone, the creation of the earth. Oh. A rock is a small chip of the entire earth. We pray with the element that has seen and been since the beginning of time.
Well, we pray with all the elements in the mind, correct?
All the elements are there.
Yes.
But I'm giving the clinical explanation to those who are viewing this so they have an understanding. We heat those rocks and pray with them while we have them in the fire. They become sacred. They're carried into the lodge after people are inside. Before the door closes, the rocks are brought in after they are heated, because the heat creates the steam. The steam creates the cleansing. They have versions of this on every continent and every culture around the world. This is our version. They have their own purpose, but ultimately it's a cleansing.
A further point to be made is that evidently this all, everywhere these types of ceremonies are had, that they eventually come from the same place and spread throughout the planet.
I can't speak on that.
That's a logical conclusion. I think that's what I've learned in my travels.
I can't tell you you're wrong because I don't.
Well, I'm saying you're absolutely correct. There's versions of this in Africa, South America.
Even the Europeans.
You
never heard of that. The Swedish have their sauna. They use leaves and in there from certain trees.
Yeah, just like we use sage and Apollo and our.
The ultimate goal is the purification of the human body.
Yes, 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 yes.
And a better health. And that's what we need. The idea of the Inipi is the purification, but it encompasses, as you said, everything is a part of that Inipi. The lodge built by natural materials, connected to the earth, carried by the oldest being in, that we pray with. We don't pray to, and I'm trying to get this across because many times I come across individuals that think we pray to rocks. We don't pray to rocks. We pray with stone, the stone nation, the oldest element of energy on the planet. And when I say that, science is just now catching up to the Lakota. If a person doesn't think a rock or a stone has infinite power, is not everything on this planet been scientifically proven that is carbon-based? Split one carbon atom in an atom collider, you get nuclear fusion.
Example, uranium, plutonium.
Absolutely. Cities are leveled with the splitting of an atom.
Yeah, a little bitty thing like that.
And how many atoms are in one rock? Millions. So how can there not be infinite power in a rock? If one atom can level a city, imagine what millions of atoms can do.
Yeah, so be it, brother. So talk about the ceremony, we're going into the door. How do we enter the door? How do we approach this?
When you approach the door, the first thing I always say is your politics and your preconception of what you expect in there. You hang it at the door.
Huh.
You leave it outside the lodge. Your animosity, you may be hurt. Pray about it when you go inside, and they'll help you to understand it, to relieve it. But you hang that animosity, your accusation, your anger, outside the lodge. It doesn't belong in there. It is a place of healing. When you go in the lodge, we sit around the circle to represent the circle of life, the human species.
And we humble ourselves and we bow.
And that is a key word, humility.
Yes.
That's why Itewachasha is the word I use to describe myself, a common man.
So I'm the lodge, a human being. Is built, not to not interrupt you, it's built low. So when you approach it, you have to get down on your knees and bow your head and find that place of humility, because now you're going in to be reborn. You're going in for a life lesson to be revealed in your prayer, as you pray for. And only do it in that way.
There's
you
a reason
bow and give honor to Mother Earth.
There's
and
a reason
then you enter. Please, continue.
The reasoning behind that. going a child, I explained Wakan Yeja, the sacredness of a child. How does a child traverse the earth of which we walk? Its first ability, it crawls. We return to the state
of a child.
We humble ourselves to know that we know nothing, and we're here to be taught and to receive information and understanding and healing. We must humble ourselves before we go in, because if we don't do that and we walk tall, we act like we know something. We know nothing as human beings. If we knew everything, we would be the creation and the creator. We are not. How can we pray to somebody if we are that person? It's impossible. It cannot be done.
All right. So even as we approach the Nipi and as we enter it, that's part of the ceremony as well.
That's why we crawl. We humble ourselves. We return to the way of the child. And we say, Mitakuye Uyasen, all my relations. And that is to unify our mind, our body, one mind, one heart, one people. Race, creed, color makes no difference. We leave that outside. We pray with one mind and one heart together. And that unity and that coming together has unlimited power and uninhibited healing. There's no end to it.
So after we enter the lodge, and how do we, and we find our places, the man, the person who's pouring the water will direct you around, correct? So everybody's in the lodge.
If it depends on who is coming in, a guiding hand via a word may need to be utilized. But if it's with my own people and they already know what to do, why would I instruct them and recreate the wheel of which they already ride upon?
Because a lot of these people are going to be new.
You didn't tell me that I was explaining this for new people.
Okay, thank you.
And then I was going to say that an individual who is new, the man pouring the water, is of course going to consider that, and he will give instruction before you go in of what is expected and what to do.
Thank you.
And that's the difference. So you should never come to a lodge and think, I don't know what to do. If you don't, you say, I don't know what to
ask
do.
Ask the question, yes.
And with that, I must iterate. In a Lakota ceremony, we have protocols, conventions, a way of doing things. It's not saying that you don't have the right to ask a question. It is okay to ask a question, but it's not okay to question a human. When you have a teacher, and if you're there and you know nothing and know you know nothing, you are free to ask a question, but there's time, there's place, before, after, not during. Mm-hmm. Because that distraction of the question, number one, may be answered organically by the power, the spirit, your own prayer, or the experience of what you have in there.
Well, it's certainly not the time for a personal consultation.
Absolutely the last thing, and this is why. The one mind, the one spirit, each person spoke of a wheel, the center, the stone people, the hub, the continuity. How can that exist if the spokes start breaking and pointing different directions?
Okay. So now tell us what is going to happen. What can they expect as they enter and everybody is now seated?
Everybody is now seated. The man pouring the water. He's going to give any special instruction because each man has his own way of doing things to a point. He'll be taught. He'll have experience. He'll be given the permission. That is an earned permission. It is not something to be taken lightly. The Chinupa you spoke of is a responsibility, not an authority. It is a right that is earned and given. And once that happens, you are responsible for the prayer of whoever you share that Chinupa with. That is your responsibility to instruct them. If they do something wrong, it is the person that is facilitating that ceremony's fault. That person has a responsibility to instruct those who don't know. Now, mistakes can be made. Things can be forgotten. That's okay. It's going to happen. We're human beings. We're not perfect. If we were, again, we would be the creation. We're not. We are trying to heal and understand so we can become better people for each other. With that said, man pouring the water, woman pouring the water, whoever that is has a responsibility to share that information. But each person will take the core of the teaching of the Lakota way of being and doing things, but have their own dream, their own mind, and their own way of doing things that will add on to that. So it may vary from lodge to lodge, and it will vary from lodge to lodge.
It will vary.
And the thing is, when I say ask a question, but don't question the person, there's a difference. It is not appropriate when you're being instructed to say, but what about this? But when I went to this lodge, I did that. That's good. That's not wrong. I can't say that I didn't run that lodge. That's them. This is me. This is the way I was taught. This is how I do things. This is my dream. This is the ceremony that I am facilitating. So right now, in the wana wana, the now, this is how I expect it to be done.
So for further clarification, we use these terms casually. Many people may not know. Can you please explain what is pouring water?
Pouring water, when I said steam earlier, the rocks are heated and brought in. The stone people, the grandfathers, they're brought in. They're brought in a ceremoniously way. Seven, to begin with, for the seven directions of the universe. The four cardinal, the west, the north, the east, the south, the heaven, the earth, and the, you know where the seventh direction is.
Wow.
Can anyone tell that's watching, where is the end of the universe? Because there is no end to the universe. So if there is no end, and you're going from point A to B, and it's you traveling, the center must start with you. If it's infinite in every direction, up, down, north, south, east, west, then to travel and to grow and to experience, you have to start with you. That is the seventh sacred direction, inward.
Uh-huh. And so pouring, so the gentleman who's pouring the water is
the
actually
steam.
Going into a bucket, picking it out,
and pouring
the water on the steam.
Now you clarify why water. Water, direct translation, one word, many. Most people of a holy path will never use the word many alone. It will be in conjunction with other words. My brother prefers many wichoni, water and life, because water is life. No organic thing grows on this planet without water. We are a spiritual being. The moon can move the tides of the earth. And we are 80% water. Then does not the moon move us? Yeah, now you know the lunar calendar is why we base our ceremonies on, when we have them, is based for each individual on the lunar calendar, not the date of the year. For the sun, the solstices and the lunar calendar are how we time them of when and how and where.
And so the lunar calendar, for people who don't understand, we have a period of this 20 moon cycles, 13 moon cycles of 28 and a half days. That's our month. There's 13 months in a lunar cycle. Okay? If you do the math, it's still 356 days. But that's the natural cycle that the planet and the moon are going to vibrate in harmony. And so it's a very accurate method of maintaining records of time. And the solstice and the equinox, those are the cardinal points. We call it the four directions, right?
Absolutely.
And that's how we teach time, when it's time to do our ceremony. Even though you may do them between them.
Many people hear in the movies. How? And they think that's universal. That is, hello in my language. All Indians don't say how, but we do. It is real. When I say that, when they say, many moons ago, We say, hey, honey, a long time ago, many moons ago.
Wow.
Because that's the calendar we use.
And it's the universal
calendar.
And that's
how that came about. And so the stereotypical John Ford movie chose that, put that in John Wayne Westerns, put that in Clint Eastwood Westerns, put it in who? Any Western. Tex Ritter, turn of century cowboy.
Okay.
When they do that, they say, many moons ago. But there's truth in that. Because we judge our history and our time by how many moons, how many seasons, how many snows ago, how many winters ago. The winter count is what we call our calendar, the winter count.
I love that explanation you gave, my friend. So now we're in the Spell Lodge, we're sitting down. The medicine person has poured the water. Well, what happens from there?
The water is poured after the instruction from the person pouring the water. The steam rises. The door has been closed. The heat starts to overcome. You breathe it in, and it starts to purify from the inside out. The steam you breathe in, what happens to water when it contacts anything? Water absorbs the things around it. It collects it. You put water on a countertop that has something on it. You take that water off. It takes part of that something with it. Always. Contamination in your body, in your spirit, in your physicality, your emotion is going to take that out of you. Your physical body, the heat, your body going to sweat. The toxins, the physicality, it's going to push it out of your body. It's going to take the evil. It's going to take the hatred. It's going to exhaust you because it takes away your energy, and that's on purpose. How can we say that we are open to healing when we're defending ourselves tensely? In our weakened state is when we're honest. On a man's deathbed, he'll confess any sin in his life without remorse. The weakest state is when we are the most honest with ourselves. So we have to do that in there. We purify our mind and our body in a weakened state. It is not to suffer. It is to open our mind and our bodies to a healing and purification. Exuding that which we don't need, we don't want within us. So when we walk out, we feel like a new human being.
So how long does this take?
I'm glad you asked that. This is an important concept. I could ask any of my nephews, when do Lakota ceremonies start? I have only one answer. When everybody's ready. When do they end? My own son asked me, when are you going to come back from the sweat lodge? I always tell him the same thing. When we're done. Because one lodge might take 30 minutes to finish. That's quick by every standard, but I'm trying to give an extreme example. One lodge might take 4 hours or more because not everybody done praying. Not everybody done healing.
Okay.
So to expect the time frame.
That's for the entire ceremony, too. So now let's go break it down. I know we have four rounds. Can you explain what a round is and what each of the four rounds represent?
The reason we call it a round, that round is from beginning to end because Changleshka, the sacred circle, the hoop, the sacred hoop. Everything we do has a beginning and an end. And the end is the beginning, and the beginning is the end. You take a circle, a ring, and you turn it. Where does it begin? Where does it end?
Oh.
It begins where you put your hand, and it ends when you put it down. There is no end to it. There is no beginning. They are one and the same. So when we begin, we have to break it up into events, the door, respectfully, traditionally, the four, in respect of the four directions.
Okay, so I know that in the first round, that's where we get our instructions from the medicine person.
That varies from individual again. I will not say that that is how it is. I will say that is the way I do it. I will say that's the way I've seen it done many times. I will say that is the commonplace and the standard, but it is not the rule. So to expect it to be that way when you show up, if it doesn't happen that way, also understand that that is not wrong either.
Okay, so we also usually see the medicine person explain what's going to happen and how to get through it and to put your mind
that
into
is customary.
A place of peace.
That is customary.
And he pours the water, begins the process of purification.
That is customary.
And then at some point he'll say a homotakiasin and the flap will open.
The flap, tiopa, the door.
The door will open. That's round one.
That would be end
Tell
of
us what round two is.
Round two varies from whoever's pouring. Traditionally, common, they would end up pipe. Going to pray. Now, sometimes.
Pipe the chanupa is brought in from the altar.
The pipe that is sacred that we use.
Yes.
Sometimes we brought in at the end of that second round. Here's an example, Fred, of your own pipe. If you could put it on camera so they can see what we're speaking of. Made of the sacred stone of the red pipestone from Pipestone, Minnesota, the quarry of our Dakota brethren, shared throughout our nation as a sacred way of the instruction of the white buffalo calf movement of our chinupa and the stem together, the earth and what grows on the earth as we do and every living thing, the earth, what grows on the earth comes together and the power of the two we pray with. The smoke.
The power of the two, the male
and the female.
The energy and
the male and the receiving female.
The bow.
Didn't I say Mother Earth, the creation.
And we put tobacco in this as a sacrament, but it's
when
not...
When you say tobacco, different tribes do different things.
Yes.
In the Lakota way, traditionally, we didn't have much tobacco. We traded and sent emissaries and trading groups to travel and meet tribes where tobacco grew naturally in the southeast, and then we would trade. Tobacco is such a sacred item for us and value. Today, tobacco has been exploited, and we have addictions, and we have things, and it's commonly available. Does not lessen the value of the tobacco when used in prayer. That needs to be established. We do use some tobacco. Traditionally, we use chachacha.
Less tobacco.
Chachacha.
Chachacha.
Part of the red dog willow. The red dog willow, sacred item to us, because underneath the bark and below, above the core, there is a small layer of that plant that we shave and we utilize. And that was our original smoking prayer device. Okay. Mixed chachacha has a mix now. We also add our sacred tobacco and mix together.
Sometimes, I also use seeing people in where, depending where I'm traveling, what tribe it is, use kinnikinick.
I can't speak on that.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Them. It would be inappropriate.
In the Lakota way, we don't do that.
I can't say that. The Lakota way, I can say, has cultural exchange. Many
right.
tribes
That's fair.
Use many things. Neither one is inappropriate, but there are preferences. Again, how you load, what you do, you start with the teachings of our grandparents, our grandmother, our grandfather's ways, and then we can carry them on. If you as an individual has an experience and find a different way that you feel works better, that's you. Many paths lead to the same place. Does not make either one wrong. It makes individual choice the deciding factor of how you get to where you're going.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, my friend. And now let's move on to what happens in the second round. close, the door is closed, you begin the second round.
Each time, the round, the person pouring the water may start singing themselves. May sing all the songs. But if there are people that can sing in there, many people pouring waters, especially medicine men, are chiefs. They have designated singers. That's their job. That's all they do, is they sing for them. They come in, and he'll say, Chanupa Olawakile, Wana. Pipe song. That song, sing it now. Boom. And that singer will sing it. He'll say, I want two this song. I want one that song. That will be done. Next round, he may say, sing song, because each song is a prayer. It answers to the life and the universe and the understanding of the Lakota way of being are in the words in the songs. You just have to listen. They're going to be there.
So is this a round after the door is closed where people introduce themselves and share if they have anything to share?
I don't know anything about introducing themselves. I have been in lodges where they have done that. That is not how I was taught to do it. But it's not my position or right to criticize somebody else when I'm a guest in their lodge.
Well, you're very careful about making that statement every 15 minutes. So we do respect your respect and the whole idea of us having respect for each other. But continue with the second round.
After the second round, traditionally the door would open.
How much time has passed?
I can't say.
Water has been poured.
Water has been poured, songs have been sang, prayers have been made, instructions have been given.
So do you wait for a typical degree?
Let me break it down where it's easier to comprehend.
Thank you.
15
I
people
appreciate
walk,
that.
15 people come into a lodge, and each one prays, only 5 minutes. How long does it take out? 5 people go into a lodge, each one prays for that 5 minutes. How long does it take?
Okay.
How do we know how many people are
going to
come?
This is around where everybody does their individual prayers.
But how does everyone know how many people are coming in until they're there?
Well, you don't know.
That's right. So for me to say how long each round is, it's impossible. It can't be done.
Okay.
So that's why I'm trying to give that understanding. But I cannot give you that because no one knows that.
Yeah, I know. I've been in EP ceremonies that started at 12 o'clock and ended at sunrise.
So you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And the answer is shared.
Just making things clear for our people who have questions.
Understood.
And so the third round, the door opens. And the door doesn't always open. Some medicine men keep the door closed.
And again, sometimes maybe the rocks didn't retain the heat the way we want them to. And they desire to keep the temperature in a certain way, to keep the prayer going, to keep the purification process going.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's up to the person pouring the water. But remember, they have their reason.
Okay, so now we're coming into the third round. The door's closed. What happens in the third round?
The third round, the person pouring the water traditionally will tell you, this will be our final round. After the third round, we're going to have one more. Go ahead and pray. Even if the songs are going, if you forgot something, pray in your mind, in your heart, silently. Pray. If you forgot something, now is the time to say it. Now is the time to pray. When that happens, and that last time, maybe, that person's going to say, does somebody need a drink of water? Because somebody might be having a hard time in there. Not everybody has the same hydration rate. Each person needs a different level. We don't know what they did that day, so we offer and ask, is everyone okay? You check your people. Make sure they're okay. Because that's why we're there. We're not there to suffer. We're there to pray. They might pass that dipper. Everybody get a drink. Take it if you want.
Yeah, that may and may not happen.
That's my point. everything that we're speaking about may or may not happen during the course of the entire lodge. And that's what needs to be understood. So I may say it every 15 minutes, but because it's a point that has to be
established. Oh, I very much understand, sir. Nico. So now, by the third round, the temperature has risen. Your bodies were acclimated to be in there. And so, from my experience, they may give you some instructions, like if you're having difficulties, get down closer to the earth. Put some sage in your mouth and breathe it.
When you breathe through that sage, you're purifying. We use the sage as a sacrament for purification purposes. It has a cleansing element. Science, again, catching up to us, finding out that you can use it as antiseptic on a wound.
Uh-huh.
You can use it for a sore throat. We make it into tea. It has a healing property for stomach ache. You can put it on a sore tooth, and it will relieve some of the pain off the nerve. It has so many things that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Cedar is used for the same reason in a different way. Sweetgrass, another one, used and burned in a same fashion for different reasons. All of them for a cleansing, but a cleansing of a different thing in a different way. The same process, different reasoning, and to the untrained person without experience in that is going to think it's the same thing, but it is not.
Oh. No. So that's the end of the third round. And our people have been given those instructions to prepare them for the fourth round, which is what I call the round of power. And that means all the water has to be poured out that was brought into the lodge.
Everything must be used. Every stone heated.
Yeah.
Every log on the fire must be burnt, because only then will the prayer be complete. If we do not use everything, then we have taken the life of a tree for without warrant. A rock heated, unused, means we took it from its resting place and we put it in a fire and we put it out there and let it cool again. And we got it and did all those things and disrespected it by not using it for what we took it for. We've discarded it. So they all must be used. And like you said, the most sacred of everything, the water, of which science is now. Water didn't used to be bottled. When I was a kid, go outside and play. You're thirsty. You didn't go in the house and ask for a bottle of Oz. Where'd you go?
Wow. Oops. That's maybe to say some people went to the river. They went to the well.
Thank you. You went to the hose. You went to the spigot outside. Yeah. You were expected to go to, and that water was good.
Good.
And it was cold. And you enjoyed it, and you played with it, and you shared it, and you got happy. And it brought enjoyment, and it brought healing. It rehydrated you. How many kids you know drink out of a hose today? And there's a reason behind that. Because the human species has contaminated our water through chemical, through corporation, through construction, industrial age. And now we can't. And what's the most thing they sell now? Bottled water in the stores.
Can you believe that? That's totally unheard of 50 years ago.
This is why. Because science is just now catching up to the fact that water was the most valuable resource on the planet. Because we can't live without it. I can go a week without food. I can't go 2 days without water. And so they're capitalizing on it. They're still missing the point. They're personally gaining out of the dissemination and the distribution of the most sacred medicine to the human species, up to every organic thing that's created on this planet. And they're still missing it because they're bottling it in plastic bottles and destroying our water, our oceans, our earth.
And you.
And themselves. And they don't even know it. And they continue to do it. And now they're going that if you watch a movie, science fiction has always come to science fact. In the 1920s, silent movie. Go to the moon, made of cheese. Maybe not made of cheese, but did they ever think that they actually have a rocket to the moon? 1960s, that rocket went to the moon. They had airplane vision hundreds and centuries ago. Fantasy. Now it's fact.
Fact.
Metal planes, birds carrying people through the air. Spaceships, planet to planet. You would be called crazy 100 years ago. But now, all of a sudden, you're a scientist and a visionary and a, what do you call, string theory scientist.
Oh, we could talk about ancient artifacts for 2 days.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, the water.
The water.
That's why we must use it. Because if we've taken it from the earth into a ceremony, the circle I'm talking, that we don't use it, we have violated and disrespected the most sacred thing to who we are.
Totally understand.
So it must be used. So I'm glad you brought that up. Everything
so
must
that,
be used.
In that process, the nipis are usually built high as your heart. And so now we have this accumulation of steam in the fourth round as we empty the bucket. The temperature rises to at least 150, and sometimes it will rise higher, depending on how long you get in there. Now that's the point where people have really have to pray and stay in, because it gets a little hot. In time, the medicine man will open the door, and the ceremony at that point in the lodge is completed. So you'll exit in a certain way. Correct me if I'm wrong. The medicine.
There are traditional ways and customary ways, but again,
the what's normal and traditionally for our people
would be they would come out and clockwise as you entered clockwise from inside the doorway to your left. And around, you would continue out clockwise from the opposite side of the lodge and exit.
I like to stand at the door, as I've seen my teachers do, and grab the hand of each person and give them a hand as they raise their head up and thank them for praying with us this way. Because it does take some tenacity, okay? And all these prayer rituals that the Native Americans have taught me, they take some strength, they will make you tired, they will break you down to a point where you will listen to any voice that decides to hear you. And plus you're clean now, and the angels and the spirits and the ancestors can come close to you, okay, now that you purified yourself of all these toxins. And the last places thing that I've seen, and you can add to this, is I shake everybody's hand as they come out, they line up, and then we go back and we shake everybody's hand down the line as they continue down to show the sign of unity, to show the sign that we are now one people, one mind now. After coming in there as individuals, we leave as a one race of people, black, white, brown, and white. And I love that point.
You said that you would like me to add to that. There's nothing to add to that. That is the most perfect explanation I've ever heard.
Thank you. And that's a new being born. Nico, it's been super having you here in Pembroke. I love you, my brother. You're going
to
do some more of this teachings and archiving.
I'm more than happy to help.
Thank you. Love you.
I love you too, sir.
And we're going to be never say goodbye. I always say next cycle.
We don't have a word for goodbye in our language.
Sure.
There is no word in our language for goodbye. We say doksha or doksha ake.
Doksha, doksha ake. See you next time.
That's it.
Broadcasting from Oak Park, Illinois, USA to the world at www.redhotradio.fm.